Well, I'm traveling tomorrow, so George Knapp's going to fill in for me. Thank you, George. But I need my open line fix, so we're going to do that tonight, this hour, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Just about anything goes. And we'll be back with your calls in just a moment. Okay, welcome back to Coast Open Lines here. And let's go right to the phones. Ralph is in Manhattan, New York. Good morning, Ralph. Go ahead.
George, good morning. You know, I just have this on my mind. I've been meaning to talk to you about it. When the computer age we're immersed in, and we find, you know, I'm computer savvy up to a point. I'm adequate. That's about it.
Me too.
You know,
too.
I just witnessed today. I'm sitting and the wonderful people all around me on their iPhones. No one conversing. Just on the, with their heads down on their little machines there. George, I just wonder how far we've really evolved when we no longer write in full sentences in a traditional manner. And I don't want to categorize, but especially the young people cannot. They write in the computer speak, and we, you know, we don't talk, and we don't talk among each other in person when you actually have a live person there to actually speak.
Ralph, listen to this story. You're going to love this.
Sure.
Months ago, I'm at a restaurant, a great little place in Beverly Hills I go to when I'm in Los Angeles. Great people there, and four people come in. You know, two guys, two gals, and they must have been in their late 20s, early 30s. They all sit down to dinner, and you figure, hey, they're going to have a great time. And they caught my eye because all four of them walked in holding their smartphones with them. And so they sit down at the table, they ordered drinks, and they immediately, you know, he's sitting across from his date, the other guy sitting across from his or wives or whatever. But right. All four of them are holding their smartphones. Not one is looking at anybody at the table. And they're just texting away. That's all they're doing. And the drinks came, and I'm watching this, and I just find this just fascinating and in social interpersonal skills. And right. For the whole evening, other than when the waiter brought the food, nobody talked to each other. They just stayed on their phones.
George, I would tell you, I've witnessed that so many times. It's frankly pathetic. You know, I'm an actor here in New York, and let me tell you something. I've been on stage many a time when the people refuse to turn their cell phones off during a, you know, you're hitting a crucial moment, and suddenly you hear this beeping sound. Let me tell you, I feel like taking these cell phones and throwing them out the window.
I know they're frustrating.
Hey, I appreciate your opinion. It's just something I had to get off my chest. I thank you very much.
You're welcome. I know when I go to a restaurant, I put my phone on silent, and I look at it only when I leave the table, unless I'm expecting an emergency phone call, of which then I tell the people wherever I am at that table, I've got this call, I have to take it, and then I'll put the phone on the table, and I'll just see it show up, even though it's on silent. But, man, it really is changing the face of everything. Let's go to Anthony in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, how's it going?
Okay, great. How about you?
All right. Kind of actually scared, though. I wanted to tell you something that actually happened. Probably about a week ago, I was on the computer, and I on Facebook, as a matter of fact, and I posted a video about that Kony 2012 being misleading.
Right.
And ever since then, my Facebook has been acting up and saying that my profile is invalid. And
you got hacked.
I don't know. And I mean, I always post, you know, YouTube music videos and stuff like that, and never, ever had a problem with it. Since I posted this video, I've had tons of problems with my Facebook.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I think you got hacked. The question is, how do you clean it up? I don't know.
I don't know. It's got me pretty scared, though. I definitely want to be someone who's a crusader about the truth and really spreading that, but, you know, I'd hate to be labeled, you know, someone speaking out or something,
yeah.
One day disappear, you know, because of this.
I wonder if you have to just eliminate your Facebook and start all over.
You know, I'm thinking I might have. I really might have to.
That is something. Okay, Anthony, let's go to Canandaigua, New York. Dave is with us on the wild card line. Hey, David.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Just want to ask you about the asteroid next year, February 2013. Any reports on that?
We've had Daniel Durda on, who's a planetary scientist. He does not think we're going to get hit, but it's going to come pretty darn close.
And closer than some man-made satellites.
They could get hit.
I've heard. My question is, 2014, don't they project something more potential as far as striking the Earth?
Yeah, there's another one. There's another one, and then there's Apophis around 2036. That's going to get close. Look, here's my take. I've got tremendous optimism. You know, the guests we talk about that are excited about the future, I'm excited about the future too. However, we live in a universe that's still pretty darn active. And I've got to tell you, this planet's been hit by asteroids before, and it's going to happen again. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's not a matter of if we're going to get hit. It's a matter of when. And one, I'm not going to be one of those. I'm not going to go on the air and say, hey, I told you so. But I'm telling you, one day, we're going to open up the old phone lines and people are going to be saying, oh, my gosh, it hit here. And, you know, I just want you to know we talked about it. Let's go to Kenny in Cincinnati, Ohio, Grandtown. Kenny, it's your turn.
Hey, George, how's it going,
bud? Good, Kenny. How about you?
Just fine. I just wanted to see what you thought about this business of dimension traveling. It's the dimensions that they talk about in
the multiverses.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's weird. What do you think? I think we can.
I don't know. I feel like I'm sometimes traveling through it myself. You know, it seems like that sometimes I just I'm in a world situation and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and then the next day or not even that day, I'll just be in to a different. Seems like I just jumped time somehow. It's similar. It's very parallel, but it's just not right. I don't know. It's just a weird feeling that I get.
I think deja vu is exactly that, Kenny. I think that there's another Kenny somewhere, and you're going through something, and for some reason you've been there before in that other dimension, in that other universe, and you're remembering it here.
And you just seem like catching up to it. Or replaying at one spot.
Exactly.
Just a crazy thing that I've been going through, George. That's really all I had. And maybe I did want to ask about JC, if you've heard from him lately.
I haven't heard from him in a few months, I think. Tommy, what's it been, a few months with JC? At least, hasn't it? At least, yep.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks. It's good talking to you, man. You guys got a good show.
Boy. All right, very good. Let's go to Gary in Anderson, California. I'll tell you a funny story about Tommy in a moment. Nope, Gary's not ready. Let's go to Lyman in Richmond, Virginia. Go ahead, Lyman.
Well, it's very interesting. You have the most magnificent show I think I've ever heard. You get to talk to everybody on Earth, and believe me, that's nice. This matter of technology, it's... We're talking about the gentleman who's high on technology. I'm sort of a Luddite myself. I'm not... technologically keen about much, but...
But you're learning.
What did you say?
You're learning.
Oh, mighty slow. Too slow. I think a lot of us are mighty slow on this fast-paced existence we're in, and I think it's a little bit beyond us. I forget who said that our moral ability is yet to catch up with our technological abilities, and do you think there's a connection here between high technology, which has been around for a very long time, incidentally, starting with the telephone? I don't even understand that well. what is the connection here? As an amateur social scientist, I'm amateur on everything anyway, but this thing of war and technology. If technology is going to make us so happy and delighted, we should have been at peace for the last 200 or 300 or 400 years.
Too much greed.
Is it greed, or is it that war creates more technology, and then we go to war even more?
Maybe so, but it's still all tied to greed.
Greed?
Yep.
Yeah, well...
I think so.
I love talking to you because I can't get the neighbors to talk anymore. You know?
Neighbors don't talk anymore. Remember the old days, Lyman? They used to sit out in the front with their lawn chairs?
I think about it all the time. Here I am in little old Richmond out in the West End, and everybody is so blank-minded when you look at them and talk. They just don't want to converse, and that's what I love about you and your program.
Neighbors actually knew who each other were. They don't know them anymore.
And you must get to know the person, I think, before the technology is wonderful, but I think most of us are kind of overwhelmed by it all. And
I know one of my neighbors in St. Louis, great couple, but on the other side, I have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
Never see them.
Well, also, I'd like to mention that this thing of religion, oh boy, we're in it deep now, but... have you ever thought about what God really is? I understand. I hear you talk about God a lot. And
funny you should bring that up, Lyman.
We're all confused about that. Well, I've thought about it for 50 or 60 years now, and I've almost come into the conclusion that we don't understand what we're talking about.
Well, let me tell you something. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who wrote the book Talking to the Dead with me, and she's a noted author, we were talking a few weeks ago, and we're talking about God, as a matter of fact. And I said, Rosemary, there is a God. And she says, that's a great title for a new book. So we're kicking that idea around. Maybe we will do that. I'm convinced there is. I don't know exactly what it is. You know, when I was raised in catechism class, raised as a Catholic, you know, they pictured God as somebody up there in the clouds, literally in the clouds. They would even show us books and pictures of God up there in the clouds. He looked like Jesus, but he was up there in the clouds. And the older I got, the more I realized, nah, come on, that's not what's happening. It's not going on like that. It's something else. There's a divine creator there. There's something that has been pushing all of us into the direction that we all go, and I just don't know what it is. I'm looking for the answers. I'm not outwardly religious, extremely spiritual, because I believe in all this, but I just, like you, I'm looking for those answers. Let's go to Vanessa in Prescott, Arizona. Hey, Vanessa, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure, George.
Hey, good.
I wanted to speak about Khan Academy. I've been utilizing it for my 20-year-old high-functioning adult son for furthering his education. I pulled him out of public school when he was in fifth grade because he couldn't even read a first grade book.
Wow.
He is now functioning anywhere from, I'd say, junior in high school to freshman, sophomore in college by utilizing Khan Academy. It is the most magnificent tool for anyone to use. You can go to college for practically free.
That's exciting.
Go ahead.
How is he now?
He's 20 now. We're working in higher math, so he's doing art history. I can do his whole school education program right through there.
So you homeschooled him basically that way?
Yes. And I was told when he was first diagnosed that I should just put him into an institution.
Good for you. Good for you doing what you did.
And he's quite social. And it's just worked out wonderful. And I just want people to know there are other alternatives that right. people can use for special needs children.
Good for you. By the way, if there's anybody out there who's like 16 to 18, try to give us a call, because I want to know what things are like for you right now. Do you feel pressured because of this talk of war? Do you feel pressured because of the economy? Is it tough for you as a 16 to 18-year-old to get by? Let me know if you can get through. Leslie in Long Island, New York, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi, Leslie.
How are you doing, George?
Good.
I'd like to talk about progressive class discrimination.
Progressive class discrimination.
Yes.
All right.
That has to do with the fining process, parking tickets, motor vehicle tickets, where a $200 ticket has no punishment on a billionaire, but it has more punishment on a poor person.
Well, only because you mean the billionaire can easily afford it.
Well, it has no deterrent value, no deterrent, no pain, no consequence.
Other than maybe he doesn't want points on his record or something.
Yeah, right. Well, as far as parking tickets, you know, whatever.
Parking, well, a parking ticket, there are no points.
Yeah, right. Well, I say, right. We should all be deterred the same and pained the same and affected the same, essentially.
But why does it discriminate with a poorer person?
Well, they're paying more by it, the loss, and the wealthy person's paying less by the loss.
Yeah, but they parked in the wrong spot, right?
Well, but the pain is greater on the poor person. The poor person gets a $200. They may have to, let's say, forego getting everybody's meal when Bill Gates gets, or a billionaire gets a $200 ticket. The loss doesn't have any effect on him.
Well, yeah, but I don't think Bill Gates would park his car in a no parking zone.
Well, maybe some other
billionaires
might very well park illegally. Sure, they would.
I mean, if you don't want a ticket, don't break the law.
Right, that's right. Well, like in Finland, I believe someone mentioned Finland. They fine you in relationship to your income.
They do.
Well, somebody was mentioned
for the same offense, whatever it is.
I can't say for sure. No, I can't.
I've never heard of that.
I don't know. I haven't looked on the internet to find out for sure. Somebody mentioned the fact that they fine you in relationship. You know, relationship. With your
well, I thought you were going to say something though, like people who are poorer will get more tickets or something like that.
No,
that's not
actually
the case.
The wealthy people get more tickets. I mean, they can afford to pay the tickets.
Well, what they do is they hire a lawyer, and the lawyer just turns it into something. I mean, this is how the system works, let me tell you. A guy with money or a woman with money who gets a speeding ticket, maybe they're doing 85 and a 40, will then go to their lawyer and pay their lawyer $300 or $400 and say, get me out of this ticket. So that speeding ticket comes back as a non-moving violation. No points, doesn't show up on his insurance. He's got to pay what would probably be $100, let's say, for a speeding ticket. The city then will say, okay, yeah, no problem. We'll wash it. But it's $300 to turn it into a parking ticket. And they do that. So the lawyer comes back and says, $300, no points, done. The guy writes a check to the lawyer, $700 for what could have been a $100 speeding ticket, and he's off. There's no points, nothing. Money talks in this country, and that's how it gets done. Now, poor folks who can't afford a lawyer get stuck with that ticket, and then their insurance rates go up and everything else. But that's how it's done. And that's what happens in this country. Let's go to Rick in Redding, California. Rick, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, George.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I saw an orb.
Where were you?
Right in my backyard, August 28th. I saw two.
Oh, you're breaking up on me. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I'm going to have to let you go pretty soon. But did the orb, like, float in and float out or what?
There was two of them, one in front of the other one. And they moved fast across the sky, and there was a small one that followed them.
Did you know anybody who just died?
No. Well, yes.
So I see. I'm convinced orbs might be that.
Not that soon, though, but a while back. But the people have been reporting them up here, and I saw them, and they're here.
Did they look under control?
Yeah, they looked like they were flying straight, like they had no gravity, like they were on a track, two of them. And then they all of a sudden, they stopped and turned yellow and disappeared one above the other, and then a small one came down from up above, and it moved more natural and made a curve and followed them right in the same spot they disappeared.
Geez, I think I would freak if I really saw orbs. I mean, I've always wanted to see orbs. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. You know, I'm not here on Friday. George Knapp sitting in for me. I'm traveling, but I wanted open lines this hour, so we'll do it when I come back. Hey, let's do our traditional shout-out right now. Those of you listening to Coast to Coast on our more than 560 radio stations across North America, hello there. Coast Insiders, thank you. XM Talk, 168. And then the various chat rooms and groups, Into Infinity. Hello there, Fantastic Forum 2, that's the number. Imaginative World, Sorcery IRC, those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And by the way, at Twitter, if you want to go back to the old app for a little bit, you can grab it at our Twitter feed. Yahoo Chat, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, National Radio Club, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks to all of you for supporting Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back with more Open Lines. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Here we go. Let's go to Catherine in Pasadena, California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Catherine.
Oh, thank you, George.
You're
how are you?
Welcome. Good.
I know you have 50 million people ask you that every day. But what I was calling about was Alex had called, and he said how he was trying to remove himself from Facebook because it's very scary. And I don't think he's alone in that. I think there's a lot of us out there that are very fearful. I tried to remove my name from Facebook. You can't do it. And you know what I'd love you to do, George? I'd love you to have a show which asks your listeners, have any of you tried to get off Facebook? Have you succeeded in getting off Facebook?
Now, what do you mean you can't get off it? I mean, don't they have a delete section?
No, you cannot. I tried, and I got really freaked out for a long time. And I finally just changed my first name. I was able to take my picture off of it. But once you're on, I think you're stuck. And it may have to do with that all the people that are friends of yours or whatever. I don't know whether you'd have to delete all of those, you know, write them and say, get off my Facebook. But every once in a while I'll do a like on something because I think Obama's so dangerous to our country. But one of the things I keep telling myself, although I'm very scared, I sign many petitions to congressmen and stuff, and I am a Tea Partier, and I think, you know, with his FEMA camps and everything that's going on, that, you know, I could be one of those that are picked out of the crowd.
Well, don't forget, though, the last few administrations have been working on these camps.
Well, I'm aware of that, George. But
it's not just one political party. They all want control.
Exactly. It's all about control. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever watched the movie Thrive. It really explains how the bankers are in control.
Well, we know that. We know that. Yeah. Ron Paul's been saying that.
Yeah, and I've been a great Newt Gingrich supporter, but I'm beginning to think maybe I should look very seriously at Ron Paul. Your show has done a lot to, you know, open my eyes. In fact, my mom used to listen to Art Bell, and it would scare me so much I couldn't sleep at night. Well, nothing's changed, George.
No, nothing has changed. Thanks, Catherine. Appreciate you being on the program. Pasadena, by the way, gorgeous area out there. I used to cover some stuff on the Rose Bowl for our CBS affiliate in Detroit, the TV stations. When I was doing that during my early, early days, let's go to Dave in Tampa, Florida. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hey, George, thanks a lot. Hey, I just want to give a special shout out to your guest tonight, Dr. Peter. I was able to go on the Zero Flight through a science teacher project that they were kind enough to allow. I think there was probably 60 of us, 30 in the morning, 30 in the afternoon. And we rode in and we told them what we wanted to do and why. We were able to do some experiments up there in zero gravity. They took us off from the Cape. We flew out, and like you said, about 15 times we experienced zero gravity.
You're going up and down, floating up and down, huh?
Oh, it's beautiful. As a kid, you just, you know, you dream about those things. And as a teacher, I don't have the money to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But they were kind enough and gracious enough. And we were able to take our small experiments, no sharp instruments, nothing like that. They're very safe. They're very sticklers on safety.
You didn't have razor blades floating around and things like that.
No, and I wanted to take a gyroscope up there and see what a gyroscope would do, get it really going and see it float. But it was a little too heavy because once you come out of that zero G, you've got to have a safe place to land.
Well, exactly. You're going to drop, aren't you?
Oh, sure. You go from zero G, and then you double your G because it's a matter of seconds, and you're on the floor.
How high up do you float?
Oh, you can, it is like a 727 that's been gutted. So you can float all the way up to probably the 8.5-9 foot ceiling.
Yeah. Okay. So you float. You're bouncing, but so the drop could be 8 or 9 feet.
Sure. If you're caught up on the roof, and they have a warning system. They have people that are telling you, okay, 5 seconds until gravity.
Get ready. So you're ready to brace yourself. And what do you do? Hit a big mat? Is there a big rubber mat down there or something?
Well, they took us to a training session on a couple of days before our actual flight so that we were able to get our own area and so that you don't drop on somebody. And we went through some safety issues, and they had us to where when they made that call, we were to go to the side and to start making our way down to a safe location because they cannot wait. They cannot wait on you. It's funny, the only people that got sick that I saw were women. And I don't know if that's anything, but it was funny, and I thought about that.
Oh, you mean they were throwing up?
Oh, yeah. They don't do it in front of you. They take them behind, again, safety. You don't want that float around. They take them behind.
So you get sick after the fact or when you're up there floating around?
No, they got sick during. You know, it's the constant gravity, non-gravity.
So what would happen? I don't want to get too gross here, but I've got to ask you this, David. So what would happen if somebody barfs in zero gravity? Does it just float around?
Sure. it's coming out, but they're very good at that because they've got people experienced that will get this person and take them behind a wall. There's a small wall built back there, and you get a barf bag. So they do it into a bag. Of course, you can't predict when somebody's going to get sick, but you can watch their face and tell.
When I was 23 years old, and I got married, the mother of my kids was my high school sweetheart. And we're still dear friends. We got married 17 years, but we just changed. We drifted apart. You know, there's a little, we dated, she was 16, I was 17, and then we got married later on and had our kids. But when we were in our early 20s, it was a frigid day in Detroit. I mean, frigid day in Detroit.
Coming off the lake.
And we were driving around in this car I went and bought. I went and bought this old, huge Cadillac. I think it gave like $1,500 for it, which was pretty good money back then. And we all went out one night, and she had a little bit too much to drink. And she didn't feel good. And she's in the car. And, you know, we're like 15 minutes from home. And there's a couple behind us in the back seat. And, you know, she's saying, George, I'm really sick. You got to pull over. And I'm telling her, I'm not going to mention her first name. And I'm telling her, look, you know, we're almost home. I don't want to put you outside. It's freezing out. 0 degrees. Detroit weather is horrible. I said, let me roll down the window, and if you get sick, you just stick your head out the window. So I'm doing about 65 miles an hour to get home. I'm trying to get home as fast as I can. I roll the window down, and yep, she just loses it. She barfs, and she felt better. The window goes up. The girl in the back is screaming because the wind blows it all back into her. And the next morning, I got to tell you, it was a disaster with parking your car when it's 0 degrees. It was horrible. But, you know, that happens out there. I guess it's that way when you float. Anyways, Tom, you've got a text message for us. What do you got?
So I'm curious, though. Were you a gentleman? Did you hold her hair?
I did not. I was dry. I was holding the steering wheel.
It got all over.
I had to hold the steering
wheel. Hey, listen, James from Ontario says, George, I hear you say there is a God. If there is, why does he let things like foreclosures, bad economy, and wars go on?
See, that the big question is how powerful is a God? What does God do? I don't think the God that I understand God to be, I don't think he is evil. I don't think he can control certain things. I think we have free will, and once things happen, they happen. So I don't think that kind of God controls economy or anything like that.
So you don't think your God has planned out everything already, or do you?
No.
You don't? See, I do. No. I think everything's planned out by the Creator.
You can change it, can't you?
You can change it to an extent, but he knows what's going to happen in the end.
Yeah, but if he's planned it out, then how can it be changed?
Well, you can do little things that you think are changing it, but he's the man.
I mean, what if, God forbid, you get in your car tonight and you make a stupid decision and you end up getting hit by somebody?
Okay, I will either be dead because God wants it to be that way, or I won't because he doesn't.
What if God is already predetermined that you're going to die that night?
Then you're not going to hear me tomorrow.
Okay, but you decide you know what? I'm going to slow down. I'm going to watch what I'm doing, and you alter the course of destiny, and you don't die.
Can't do
Have
that.
Have you altered it, or you say you're done for?
You can get hit at 10 miles an hour or 50.
So you think you're going to get hit?
No, I don't think that.
No, I mean, if God decided you're going
to
get hit.
If God wants me to go tonight, yeah.
And you don't think you can get out of that?
No.
Yeah, that's where we differ.
You do?
It doesn't matter. Pick up your final check tomorrow. See ya.
Have a safe flight.
All right, thanks. Let's go to Barbie in Los Angeles, west of the Rockies. Barbie, hi.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to tell you about something that happened to me back in the 70s.
All right. What was it?
I was asleep in Glendale, and I got a call that my mother was sick and couldn't drive home from work, and it was 2:30 in the morning, and they wanted me to come and drive her home. Well, that's 35 miles in the middle of the night, and I had to get up at 6 o'clock to get ready to go to work. So I'm grumbling to myself as I'm throwing on my clothes, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to get any more sleep because I'm going to have to take her home, make sure she's all right before I leave, then drive all the way back to Glendale from Norwalk, and I'm just going to get home in time to take a shower and get ready to leave for work. So what I did was I went and I got her. I took her home, made sure she was okay. I got back, and as I was taking the 2 freeway back to Glendale, I felt like I went through something really strange. For about 10 seconds, I didn't recognize anything around me on the freeway. And then all of a sudden, I was back and I could see things that were familiar to me. So I got back home to the apartment. And when I walked in, I looked at the clock and it said 2:30. And I said, wait, that can't be right. How can that be? I left here at 2:30. So then I went and I looked at my other clock and it said 2:30. So in these days, you know, you call time.
Yeah.
And I picked up the phone and I called time. And the lady on the other side of the phone said, the time now is 2:31 a.m.
And what was the number for time in those days?
Oh, my God. You know, I don't know. It was something simple. It wasn't a three-digit number, but it was something that I
was it 555-1212?
It might have been. I just don't remember anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, I've always called that my miraculous time slip. Because I went to bed and my alarm went off at the normal time and I got up and went to work and my mother called me at work and she says, well, I'm sorry you didn't get any rest. And I said, Mother, you're not going to believe this. But when I got home, it was 2:30 and I went back to bed and I slept for 3 hours.
It was time travel. Good story. David, Wilmington, Delaware, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, David.
George, I got your book, Talking to the Dead. Great job on it.
Thank you. Thank you. Rosemary did a phenomenal job on that for us, too.
Yes, you both did. And you're doing a great job on the air, too. I just wanted to ask you, I haven't heard you talk about the station in Hawaii lately, when you're going to open it up.
I am going to open up those doors in May.
Oh, okay.
I don't have the exact date yet, but I'm good. I've got to go to St. Louis. One of my daughters is getting married. And so I'm going to spend some time there. I want to go see my 17-and-a-half-year-old grandchild. And I'm going to spend some time with them. My son of my 3 children, he got transferred to Las Vegas. So I saw him last week. And so I'm bopping around. Then my mother's going to be 83. So I got to go to Detroit the end of May. But sometime in May, I'm going to start the Hawaii trips.
Congratulations on your son getting married.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, that's about all I had.
Okay, and the son's been married. The daughter's getting married end of April, and she's happy about that. Let's take a few more calls here. Let's go to Luke and Florence. Florence, where, Luke? Where are you?
I'm actually just outside of Florence. I'm 15 miles from Florence.
Florence, where?
South Carolina.
Oh, okay, cool.
But anyway, I was telling the man picked up the phone there. There was a wormhole down here that the UFOs were coming and going through, and apparently they moved it.
They moved it?
Yeah.
How the heck that happened?
I can't explain it, but I think it's down near Pamplico, South Carolina, which is just east of me, north, or actually southeast of here. And
that's the strangest thing I've ever heard, Luke.
Well, they move them. I think they can. I don't know. But the one up in Missouri is about 2 miles long that I know of. And I watch them come and go through it all the time when I was up there. And I'm planning on going back and up there in 2 weeks. And
what are they doing?
They just come and go through there. And they, I've had them hover over houses up there at night and take people out of the houses and bring them back 2 hours later and put them back.
Have you seen the people, like, float up?
Yes, in a real bright circle light.
And do you go talk to the people the next day?
No.
You don't do that?
I've never done that. I should have, but the one couple that kept going all the time, was they both passed away.
Are they asleep when they float away?
I couldn't tell you that.
I mean, you looked at it. Did they look like they were sleeping?
You know, George.
I mean, do they go up? Do they go up like they're standing up or lying down?
The ones I saw were sitting down in their chairs.
The chair goes too?
Huh?
The chair goes up there with them?
Apparently, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, Luke.
But there's I know some cotton picking much stuff about UFOs.
Well, that's a great thing. We got to run, Luke. We're almost out of time here on Coast to Coast Land. Hey, I like open lines every once in a while like this. It's fun. It's great feedback with all of you. And I'm going to be back, of course, Monday out of the cave in St. Louis. I haven't been there in 3 months. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.